Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for your word. We come before your word. We open our hearts and minds to you. I pray that you would release the Holy Spirit of revelation and wisdom in this place, God, so that we may hear and receive and understand what you are saying to us today. And I just want to humble myself before you. I pray that you would use me to speak your word with clarity and with conviction and with anointing and power. And that you will be pleased, God, with the word that is being preached. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and have your way with us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today I have the privilege of speaking about the gift of tongues and interpretation. So we're going through our series on spiritual gifts. And we've been following a format, right? We have 4 points. What is the gift? And then we have biblical examples, modern day examples, and then why we should desire it. Okay, I have good news for you. I'm only going to have 2 points, 2 main sections for this message. I'm just going to talk about what is it, because from that, we're going to have biblical examples. I'm going to talk about why we should desire it, because from that, we're going to have some modern day contemporary examples. Okay, but we, even though we only have 2 points, I think it might be a long message, okay? So don't get your hopes up too high. We'll see. I haven't had a chance to practice run through, so we'll see. What is speaking in tongues? I have the definition here from Dr. Sam Storms, which is the guy that, you know, we heard from him at the conference in the U.S., specifically on the gift of healing. He's the one that had 20 points in one sermon, but I have a little book by him on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is his definition. Speaking in tongues is the spirit-energized ability to pray, worship, give thanks, or speak in a language that you do not know. Okay? This Holy Spirit-enabled ability to pray and worship and give thanks and speak in a language that you do not know. So, the first thing we have to remember, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to speak in tongues. So we see in the story that we just read in Acts chapter 2, the believers are gathered, and what happens? The Holy Spirit falls upon them in the form of a fire, right? In the form of a tongues of fire coming upon each person's head. I wonder what that would have looked like. We hear the violent rushing wind. That's the Spirit of God coming, and we see fire resting on each person, and then they begin to speak in tongues. It's something that the Holy Spirit enabled them and moved in them to do. Let me point you to 2 more passages. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. Acts 10, 44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So in that story, Peter is preaching, and while he's preaching, the Holy Spirit falls upon everyone that is listening, and then again, they start speaking in tongues. They start, it just comes out of them as they are hearing, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, verse 6, one more. Acts 19:6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. So again, Paul lays hands on them to pray for them. The Holy Spirit comes, and then they start speaking in tongues. Okay, so we'll get to that, why I'm kind of emphasizing this later. But the point is, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to pray in tongues. Okay, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But one thing that we have to remember It is not the sign of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Okay, there's a few instances in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit comes upon people. In these three instances, it is followed by speaking in tongues. And some people would look at that and say, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to pray in tongues. You will speak in tongues if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not baptized with the Holy Spirit. You don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we don't believe that as a church, and I don't think that's what the Bible teaches either. Because there's many other instances where the Holy Spirit comes, but it is not followed by the sign of the speaking in tongues. Okay, so we have to remember that it is not the only sign, but it is one of the signs of the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody. And I think tongues, speaking in tongues, is kind of a strange gift, right? It sounds so strange to begin with. What a weird thing to, you know, when somebody's praying, and then I'm sure in our church, if you don't speak in tongues, you've heard people speak in tongues, and you probably thought, that sounds so weird. What a weird thing to do. You know, why Christians do that, especially the Pentecostal, you know, charismatic churches. It's quite visibly supernatural, right? You hear it, and you can see it, and it sounds weird, and it's visible. But actually, if you look through Scripture, there's not a lot of examples of speaking in tongues. So we don't have a lot to kind of learn from in Scripture. There's only a handful of passages that we can look at. And so I think it's one of those things, it's very hotly debated among different Christian denominations, different churches. And I think one of the reasons why is because over the years, somehow, tongues has kind of become the sign for something, you know? If you have speaking in tongues, well, that's a sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have speaking in tongues, well, that's a sign that you have greater zeal for God. You know, if you have tongues, well, that's a sign that you are mature believer. You know, if you have tongues, then it's a sign that you've arrived somewhere, you know, that you are a good Christian. You are more committed and you're more zealous and you love God more if you have tongues. And we think of tongues as some sort of a sign for something. And Sam Storm says in the book, it says, tongues are not a sign of anything. Okay? Tongues are not a sign of anything. It's just one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that happens among many other things that Paul talks about. Okay, so we have to remember that it's not a sign for something. It's just one of the manifest. It's just one of the things that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Sometimes you begin to speak in tongues, and it's something that the Holy Spirit enables us to do. Okay, I'm gonna talk about tongues by first dividing it into three types of speaking in tongues. I think that I found it quite helpful for me to understand the gift of speaking in tongues in these three types. Okay, it's all speaking in tongues, but there's three different ways it kind of operates in our lives, in the lives of Christians. And a lot of this actually comes from, do you guys remember Stefan Hugo? He was in our church 10 years ago at our retreat, and he did a message on tongues. And for me, that really opened my eyes. So I went back to it. I listened to it. So some of this I gleaned from him. Also, if you want to learn more about speaking in tongues, Pastor Sam has a message on tongues in our archives, and I encourage you to listen to it. I try to make sure I don't just preach that one because that's already available to you. So this is not, you know, some of it is, of course, linked, but I'm trying to bring a different kind of revelation and teaching on it, something a little different from PSAM. So the first type of tongues that I see in Scripture, we're going to call this human tongues, okay? Human tongues. So we see that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, right? We didn't read it, but if we continue to read it, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon them and they begin speaking in tongues. And then the people around them begin to get really surprised and they say, whoa, what is going on? Because these guys, I know that they don't speak my language. That's not their native tongue, but I hear them praising God in my tongue. And another person from another area is like, whoa, I'm hearing them pray in my tongue, you know, in my language. And different people are hearing them speaking in tongues in a known human language. Oftentimes, when we hear about these things, it's evangelistic. So it happens on the mission field. You know, somebody is out there, they don't know what to do, and they just start praying in tongues. And then somebody will say, whoa, what did you just say? And they're like, I don't know, I'm just praying in tongues. And then they're like, whoa, you told me in my language to do this and this and this. And oftentimes it's evangelistic, but it's not always. There's a story that I want to share with you from Stefan Hugo. He knows a YWAM leader. There's a YWAM base in Equatorial Guinea. Who knows where that is? Africa. Somewhere in Africa. Equatorial Guinea. Who knows what language they speak? Spanish. See, I bet you didn't know. They speak Spanish in this part of Africa. And so there's a base in Equatorial Guinea, and the base leaders, you know, they speak Spanish and English, and they're gathered together, and their YWAM base is right next to the road, I guess, where people are walking and things like that. And so they're gathered. It's a small group, and they have a prayer meeting, as YWAMers do, and they're praying what he calls African style. We call it Korean style, but they called it African style, which is everybody praying out loud together. You know, everybody's praying out loud. Just some people are praying in Spanish, some people are praying in English, and some people are praying in tongues and just praying out loud. And then a Chinese man runs into the room and falls down on his knees and begins to cry. So they don't know what's going on. And after he's done crying, they ask him, hey, what's going on? Why are you crying? And the Chinese person says, one of you called me by my name in Mandarin and told me to come here and give my life to God. Isn't that crazy? So these men heard it in Mandarin. They weren't praying in Mandarin. They were praying in tongues. And somehow it was Mandarin, and this man heard what they were praying, and he came in and gave his life to God. Pastor O, Robert O, some of you know him. He's been here many times. You know, he has a real special gift for praying for people to receive tongues. And he tells of a number of stories where he's preaching in the middle of the USA, where it's not very diverse. It's Caucasian church, and there's an old middle-aged Caucasian woman, and he prays for her, and he receives tongues. And apparently, I mean, he just told us, she spoke in perfect Korean. She started speaking in tongues, and he was like, whoa, you're speaking Korean, you know? So some of these things happen at times, but it's very rare. So I have a quick show of hand. How many of you, is there anyone here, first-hand experience where you saw or witnessed something like this? Anyone? Yeah, it's rare. I haven't either, but I just prayed for it. As I was preparing, I was like, Lord, I would love to see this happen. But there's definitely, I'm sure you have second-hand stories and third-hand stories where you know somebody that knows somebody that did it or know somebody that witnessed it. And so it does seem to happen, oftentimes evangelistic, helping to bring somebody to Christ, but not doesn't happen very often. This leads to a question. Tongues, when we speak in tongues, must it always be a known human language? Because that's what we see in Acts chapter 2, right? The first time tongues happens, it seems like that's what it was. Here are my thoughts on it. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. The Bible doesn't say it needs to be a known human language. The first instance is merely descriptive of what happened. What happened in that time, some people that were there were able to understand what they were saying. It doesn't even say that everybody understood what everybody was saying. So it could be that there was 100 people there, 50 people spoke in a language, and other 50 people understood, and other 50 people said stuff that nobody understood. So we don't know. It's never commanded or taught anywhere that it needs to be this way. And my thought, my reasoning is, if Acts chapter 2, that story, if that experience was to be the normative for all experiences of speaking in tongues, it doesn't seem to align with the way Paul talks about tongues and interpretation in 1 Corinthians 14. If you read 1 Corinthians 14, which is probably the only chapter in the Bible where you can really learn about speaking in tongues, it is assumed, when you read that, you read that whole chapter, Paul assumes that nobody understands your tongue. Nobody would understand your tongue. And because nobody understands your tongue, you also need a supernatural gift of interpretation if somebody were to pray in a tongue. But if you read Acts chapter 2, if that's to be the norm, in Acts chapter 2, there are many people that understand what they are saying. And in that case, there is no need for any spiritual gift, supernatural gift of interpretation. Right? But Paul seems to assume that in a church, when tongues is spoken, he doesn't say, well, make sure somebody understands that language and can give an interpretation. He says, well, nobody will understand you unless we have a supernatural gift of interpretation coming. So, to me, it seems like that's not the case. Paul talks about, in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about, if I speak in tongues of man or in tongues of angels. So it could be that what we're speaking is not a known human language. It could be we're speaking in a heavenly tongue or tongues of angels. Or it could be that there are millions of languages out there, even languages that are maybe not in existence anymore, but God knows it, but we will never know as another human being. So I don't think we have to worry like, oh, this guy's speaking in tongue, but that doesn't sound like a known human language. Well, how many languages do you know? Probably five. So you're saying, out of all the languages you know, you've never heard that one. Yeah, but possibly it's a human language, and it doesn't seem to be commanded anywhere that it has to be a known human language. Is that hopefully okay? So we'll move on. Second type of tongues. So that's first type of tongues, human tongues. Sometimes it happens, but it's rare for us to witness it. Second type, church tongues. Church tongues. What I mean by that is a tongue that is spoken within inside a church meeting in a public setting. Okay, someone comes up and gives a word in tongue. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. You can look at the screen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 to 28. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. In a church gathering, you are gathered to worship together, and you're gathered for the purpose of edifying one another, encouraging one another, teaching one another, whether through preaching or a word from God or through a tongue. Sometimes a word can be given in tongues, in public, and in those cases, you must wait for interpretation. Okay, so that's what we call a church tongue. It happens in a church setting, in a group gathering, a corporate gathering, when you're gathered for the purpose of edifying one another and teaching and giving a word of encouragement. Sometimes Holy Spirit inspires someone to come up to the front and give a word in tongue. In those cases, we wait for interpretation. How many of you have witnessed something like this? It should be a lot of you, because in our church, I mean, if you're not super new to our church, and if you know Pastor Ricky, you have seen this. Pastor Ricky is our pastor in an Asian city where we have planted a church, and he used to operate in this all the time. We would be at a church service, usually during a retreat or something, or some kind of a conference. You know, he always comes up, and he's always like, hey guys, oh, I don't really want to do this, you know, but I just feel the Holy Spirit, and then he'll break out in in a tongue, and then we wait for interpretation. And usually, Pastor Mary would come up and give an interpretation because she seems to operate in the gift of interpretation. Okay, I wonder if anyone's witnessed it outside of SP. I witnessed it maybe once or twice, one at a YWAM base and another time at my youth group because I went to quite a charismatic youth group. Sometimes, I'll speak a little bit about the gift of interpretation here. Have you ever wondered, sometimes in these instances, somebody will come up and give a word in tongue, and it's very long. It goes on for a few minutes, and then the interpretation comes, and it's very short. It's a word, or it's a sentence, you know, or vice versa. Sometimes the word in tongue is very short, but the interpretation comes, and it's very long, and you don't know what's going on here. You know, or sometimes you give there's a word in tongue, and then the interpretation, but there's multiple interpretations. Pastor Mary comes up, and somebody else comes up, and so what is going on here? And you might wonder how come if you're interpreting the tongue, it's not the same length. But you have to understand the gift is interpretation, not translation. Okay, so translation would be I'm saying this in English. And, I mean, if I were to, you know, say, I'm speaking English. That's in English. And I can say, 나는 영어로 말하고 있어요. That will be Korean. I'm exactly translating. And I could say it in Cantonese. 너, 공, 영만. I don't know if that's the correct way. But that's word for word translation. That's a translation. But what we're talking about is interpretation. Interpretation is sometimes maybe the word in tongue is a picture of something. You know, the word in tongue is, I see a picture of, I don't know, blue sky, there's a rainbow, and I see something. Well, the interpretation of that picture would be maybe the promise of God, that God is faithful to his promises. And then the interpretation might be, God wants you to know that he's faithful to his promises. I see how that would make sense. So the example that I was given was, let's say somebody comes up, Pastor Chris comes up, and he gives a word in tongue. And just hypothetically, let's say the tongue was, we would never know, right? But the tongue was, let's say, Father God, what do you think of your children here? What do you think of your children here? And then interpretation comes to Amy. And to Amy, the interpretation, the word, that the impression that comes to her is, my children, I love you, which is a correct interpretation for that tongue, for the body, because it's meant to encourage the body. So she might come up and say, my children, I love you. But to Ben, behind Pastor Chris, the interpretation that comes is he sees a picture of Jesus, the shepherd, carrying his sheep. So he comes and gives that, which is also a correct interpretation of the tongue, because the tongue is a question. My father, you know, Father, how do you feel about your children? And so it's in many ways it could work in that sense. And so we don't always know, we don't always need it to be the same length, the same amount of time, or the same interpretation. So gift of interpretation is when the Holy Spirit reveals to someone, very similar to the gift of prophecy, when the Holy Spirit reveals to someone what that word in tongue means. Okay. And not only what it means, but more so what God wants to communicate to his children through that word in tongue. Okay, so very similar to prophecy, an impression that you get. I don't think you hear audibly as somebody is speaking. Like, it's different from a known language. If you hear a known language, then you immediately know the exact meaning of what that word is, and you can translate that. But that's not how the gift of interpretation works. It's an impression that you get, and it's what God wants to communicate to us through that word in tongue. Okay, question. Must we always have interpretation anytime we speak in tongues at church? Must we always wait for an interpretation after we speak in tongues at church? Because sometimes people will say, well, 1 Corinthians 14, it says, if there's a word in tongue, you need to have interpretation. So the question or the accusation sometimes is, well, how can you in the church Everybody's praying in tongues. The worship leader's praying in tongues. And the IP leader's praying in tongues. And how does that work? Well, we're not biblical. We're not waiting for the interpretation. And Paul says when there's tongue in a public setting, we need to wait for the interpretation. And again, this is my thinking, my reasoning as I study this and look over this. The context is important here. The context is important here. The Corinthian church, it seems like it was a very disorderly group in a worship gathering. And when they are gathered together for the purpose of ministering to each other, edifying one another, teaching the scriptures, what they would do is multiple people would just start speaking in tongues, right? Kiwon would start speaking in tongues, and Aaron would start speaking in tongues louder, and then Kaylin would start singing in tongues. You know, like different people just started doing tongues. But the purpose of that time was for teaching, for edification, to encourage one another through that word. And so their actions, speaking in tongues, did not meet the intended purpose of that action, right? If their action, they're gathered together to encourage the body and to edify the body, and they're doing it with they express that purpose. They say, "Well, my purpose is to encourage the body, but I'm going to do it in tongues, and blah, 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 whatever. And my purpose is to encourage the body, but I'm going to sing in tongues." Well, that doesn't encourage anyone. And Paul's saying, well, if you're going to do that, don't stop it. Don't do it. That doesn't make any sense. If you are trying to, when you're gathered together and you're edifying one another and you're encouraging one another, you are blessing the other person. Well, do it in a language so that they would actually understand. It doesn't make sense for you to do it in a language that they don't understand. It doesn't fulfill any purpose. But I think if we're gathered and we express to the body, this time is a purpose. The purpose of this time is to pray. We're just going to intercede for Hong Kong. We're going to intercede for this person. We're going to stir ourselves up in love for God, in worship of God. And so, if you want, go ahead and pray in tongues. That's fine. Because we're not saying that the purpose of that time is to teach and edify one another. We're saying this time we're edifying ourselves. We're building ourselves up. We're going to stir ourselves up. And we're going to, sometimes you want to worship. It's a time for worship. It's not necessarily to teach you or encourage you or bless you in any way. We're just going to worship. We're going to express our love to God. And if you want to sing in tongues, go ahead. And if that's clearly understood, I think it's fine. The context matters. I was listening to a message by Colin Dye, who was a pastor at Kensington Temple in London. And he was saying he visited a church in Kenya one time. And it's not a good church. It was a weird church. He went visited a church. It was a peculiar church. And he went there, and they're super hyper-charismatic, and they really upheld the gift of tongues in high value. And so what they would do is they would actually do what I was just kind of talking about. So the pastor would come up, everybody's gathered, and then he would give a word in tongues. And as if he's introducing, you know, saying hello to everybody. And then the announcement person would come up. And then he would give a word in tongue, as if he was sharing the announcements. And then the pastor would come back up, and then he would preach in tongue. And that's maybe what was happening in the Corinthian church. And Paul's saying, that's not going to work. No one's going to understand you. No one's actually going to be blessed and encouraged and edified through that. So I think the context is important. And in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul is teaching it, he's saying in that context where you're meant to bless and encourage, edify one another, make sure there's an interpretation or don't do it. But in other contexts, there's other contexts, other types of gatherings, other types of times where we pray in tongues. And I think it's fine because everybody understands when P. Sam is up here ministering to people and is praying in tongues as he's praying for people, no one's listening to him like wanting to understand or get an edification from him. So, you guys know what I mean. Third type of tongues, private tongue. Okay, so I think it's helpful to understand in those terms. Human tongue, that rarely happens when it happens. Church tongue, also rare, but we see it in our church because of Pastor Ricky. But before that, I'm sure many of people had not seen that before. The last one is private tongue. I have a few passages. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 2, 14, verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. No one understands. They're speaking not to men, but to God. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 to 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. But it says in verse 28, but if there is no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So Paul says, if there is an interpreter, let's say by trial and error, you know, you've given a word in tongue, but no one interpreted. Okay, fine. Another week, give another word in tongue, no one interprets. Then you realize, okay, there is no interpreter here. So then you stop doing it. But he says, but you speak in tongues to yourself and to God. What is that? That's in your private. That's in the secret place, in the private place with God. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 18 to 19, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in tongue. So Paul says, I speak in tongues more than everybody, and I thank God for it. But in the church, I don't do it. So then where does he do it? In the private place, in the secret place with God, he prays in tongue. Okay? And I think this is how most of us utilize the gift. You know, we speak in tongues, we don't do it in front of everybody, but we do it in the private place, and we speak in tongues because maybe there is no interpreter or we don't feel comfortable doing it, but the Bible definitely talks about speaking in tongues to yourself and to God, that when you're speaking in tongues, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. One last passage, 1 Corinthians 14, 14 through 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. So Paul says, my mind is unfruitful. My mind is not at work when I pray in tongues. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pray with my mind, and I'm going to think about what I'm saying, and I'm going to think about what I'm singing, but I'll also pray with my spirit, with my mind being unfruitful. And I'm going to sing with my spirit, with my mind being unfruitful. There was a study done in 2006. There was a New York Times article, actually, on this, speaking in tongues and what happens in the brain when you speak in tongues. And they did a brain imaging thing, neuroimaging technology. They had five women that are tongue-praying women. Okay, and they put these things on their heads and they're doing a brain scan as they're praying in tongues. And what they noticed was, their frontal lobe, okay, I don't know anything about the brain, but their frontal lobe, which is the thinking and willful part of the brain through which people control what they do, that part of the brain was relatively quiet. But the regions involved in maintaining self-consciousness were active. And so they were not in blind trances. You know, they're not losing their mind in a trance and then speaking in tongues. They know what they're doing. They're conscious of these things on their heads. They're conscious of what is going on. But as they pray in tongues, that willful, thinking, controlling part of the brain is relatively quiet. And this is what the researcher says, the leader of the study. I think he's a Christian, but he says this. The amazing thing was how the images supported people's interpretation of what was happening. The way they describe it and what they believe is that God is talking through them. Right? So God, Holy Spirit, is talking through them. Their mind is unfruitful because they're not thinking about what they're saying, but they're conscious of what is happening and what they're doing. I think this is probably our biggest hurdle to praying in tongues. Because how can my mind not know what I'm doing? That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I'm a rational, reasonable human being. My mind, that frontal part, is involved in everything I do. I'm thinking about it, and I'm willful in my decision-making. I want to control what I'm saying. How can that not be active and pray in tongues? I think that's probably the biggest hurdle. And I heard a pretty helpful illustration from Stefan Hugo. He calls it the Stefan Hugo's hamburger illustration. So let me try to make sense of it to you. Think of a hamburger. There's a top bun, and there's the patty, and there's the bottom bun, right? And think of it like this. The bottom bun is your spirit. When you pray in tongues, or when you pray, when anybody prays, our spirit is praying, right? We can't pray on our own. Our spirit is praying. The Holy Spirit is in our spirit. It's stirring us up, and we're praying. And usually, it will go through our mind, right? The patty. It goes through our mind. We think about it. And we're like, yeah, that makes sense. Lord, do this for my friend, or do this for Hong Kong. And then it goes through our body, which is our, you know, our vocal cord and our tongue and our mouth, and it comes out. But when we're praying in tongues, it's like the hamburger patty is gone. And it's just the bun, and the spirit goes through your body, and you're praying. And he made a good point. He said, for most of us, our patty is too thick. Our mind is too thick, and it's doused with ketchup and onions and mustard and all these things. And so our spirit, it wants to do it, but it can't because our mind won't allow it. Our mind says, that doesn't make sense. That's too stupid. You know? How can that be? You know, I'm a reasonable human being. I'm not going to allow that. And so usually, because our mind is so thick and it doesn't allow what the Holy Spirit is doing in our spirit to come through to our mouth, and then we actually pray that out. And so, yeah, it is hard. And we need to kind of practice and work at it and see if we can remove the mind part that hinders us from kind of our spirit directly operating with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Why should we desire it? Okay. Section 2. I think this one's a little shorter, so don't worry. Section 2, why should we desire it? Number one, Paul encourages it. Okay, let's look at a few passages. 1 Corinthians 14, did you put it up in one slide? Yeah, 5 and 18 and 39. This is what Paul says. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. Paul says, I want you all to speak in tongues. Even though that whole chapter is Paul saying prophecy is better than tongues because prophecy, people understand what you're saying, but he still wants everybody to speak in tongues. He says in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He says, I'm so thankful that I operate in this gift, that God has given me this gift and I'm able to pray in tongues more than everybody else. Then lastly, in verse 39, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Maybe even at that time, people thought, that's too crazy. Why are we doing this? And Paul says, don't forbid it. Make sure you don't stop people from speaking in tongues because it's a good thing. Okay, so Paul encourages it. It's positive. He talks about it in a positive light. Number two. Tongues, it edifies yourself. It builds yourself up. It builds you up as you pray in tongues. Look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. You are encouraging yourself when you do this. You're strengthening yourself. You're stirring yourself up. You're getting stronger. You're drawing close to God. I mean, how many of us, often in our quiet time, in our devotional time, just in our day-to-day walk, we could use a little bit of edification. You know, we could use a little bit of encouragement. We could use a little bit of strengthening. And God has given us this gift So that no matter what we're doing, because your mind is not involved in it, you can do whatever. You can oftentimes, actually, if I'm on the train or if I'm doing something and I'm not reading or on my phone, which is a terrible habit, right? We're always on our phone. But if I'm not on my phone, I'm praying in tongues. Because I can go about my day and still just be praying in tongues. Especially this week as I was preparing for this message, I was constantly, anytime I had a free time, I would be praying in tongues. Shandara, you know, like just praying in tongues and asking the Lord for help and praying for Hong Kong. You know, in my heart, I'm praying for Hong Kong and I'm praying in tongues the whole time. I'm saying, God, have mercy. And I'm praying for this message. I'm praying for, I had to minister in Beijing last week and I was praying for that. All of it in tongues as I'm going about my day and I'm building myself up and I'm strengthening myself. There's a quick story that I want to share with you. Jackie Pollinger. Some of you have heard of her. Jackie Pollinger is a missionary in Hong Kong. She's written a book called Chasing the Dragon. And this story comes out of her book in Chasing the Dragon. She was a young woman when she came to Hong Kong as a missionary, I think 20 years old. And she started ministering in the walled city. It's not there anymore. It's a drug-infested, triad-led area. Crazy ministry. But she meets a Chinese couple in her ministry who prays with her. And she receives a gift of tongues. Okay, so she received it, but she didn't like it. Right, she received the gift of tongues, but when she practiced it, she felt weird about it, and she thought, well, it doesn't seem to benefit me in any way. I don't feel anything. I actually feel weird about it. You know, how can I? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. So she stopped praying in tongues, and then a year later, she meets an American couple who tells her, "You should, if you have it, you should practice it. You know, if it's a gift from God to you, well, you should use it." And then this is what the American couple says to her. "The scripture says, if you pray in tongues, you will be built up spiritually. It doesn't say you will feel built up." That's profound. So it doesn't say that you will feel edified. It doesn't say your feelings are going to change, but it says you will be edified and you will be built up. And so she changes her mind and eventually has an experience of joy in praying in tongues. And she calls it, man, it's the perfect prayer. She doesn't want to despise this wonderful gift from God. God has given me this wonderful gift and I've been despising it. For a whole year, I despised it. I didn't want it. And so she repents and she makes a promise to God and to that couple. She says, I'm going to pray in tongues every day for 15 minutes. She just sets a clock, and she prays for 15 minutes. I have the quote up here. I'll just read it to you. "Every day, as I had promised the Willens, I prayed in the language of the Spirit. 15 minutes by the clock. I still found it to be an exercise. Before praying in the Spirit, I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray or whom to pray for. Will you pray through me, and will you lead me to the people who want you? And I would begin my 15-minute stint." So she would just sit there, I mean, alarm clock, and just prayed in tongues for 15 minutes. Her mind is unfruitful, but she's going through it with commitment. And then it says, next quote, "After about 6 weeks, I noticed something remarkable. Those I talked to about Christ believed. I could not understand it at first and wondered how my Chinese had suddenly so improved. Or if I had stumbled on a splendid new evangelistic technique. But I was saying the same things as before. It was some time before I realized what had changed. This time I was talking about Jesus to people who wanted to hear. I had let God have a hand in my prayers, and it produced a direct result. Instead of my deciding what I wanted to do for God and asking His blessing, I was asking Him to do His will through me as I prayed in the language He gave me." Isn't that cool? So it's not about how you feel. How many of you have received tongues in the past and you feel weird about it and so you've been despising it? Right? This wonderful gift from God and you're like, I don't feel anything. It seems weird to me. I think it's weird. And you've been despising it. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. The scripture doesn't say you will feel built up, but you will be built up. Something is happening as you pray in tongues that is building you up and strengthening you. It's like, you know, exercising, going to the gym. Sometimes you feel something. Sometimes you don't. But you trust that God is doing something. And the last point. Third reason why we should desire it is because praying in tongues helps us rely on the Holy Spirit to pray for the things that's on His heart. Okay? Praying in tongues allows you to pray the things that's on God's heart. Many of us, we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to pray. I mean, as I pray for Hong Kong, I'm constantly saying to God, I don't even know how to pray, God. What should I pray for? Do I pray for Carrie Lam? Do I pray for the police? Do I pray for the protesters? Do I pray for the church? I don't know what to pray for. And often I don't know. I just go to God and then say, I don't know, God. I don't know what to do. And it's in those moments you can pray in tongues and trust that God is praying through you the things that's on His heart. Look at Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. There's debate about this passage. Some people say when it says the Spirit helps us intercede or intercedes for us with groanings too deep, that that's talking about tongues. Other people say it's not. What's for sure from this passage is we don't know how to pray, and the Holy Spirit helps us. We don't know how to pray, and we all know that by experience, and the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Maybe through this groaning, which may not be tongues, but I believe another way the Holy Spirit helps us to pray is through tongues. It's the Holy Spirit giving us words and stirring our spirit to speak to God the mysteries of God, to speak the words, you know, speak the prayer that is on His heart. So I believe that one of the ways that the Spirit helps us to pray when we don't know how to pray is through speaking in tongues. I want to share with you two stories. One, there's an intercessor by the name of Dutch Sheets. If you're in our IP team, you've read his book, Intercessory Prayer. He tells the story of this of a preacher that he knows. This preacher was ministering in Canada. He goes to Canada. It's a small church, Pentecostal church, small church. He doesn't know anybody there, but he was invited to speak. So he's speaking. He begins the message. He opens up the scriptures, maybe reads the scriptures, maybe prays a prayer. But right as he's beginning the message, the Holy Spirit speaks to him in his heart and says, stop preaching, and I want you to pray in tongues. So he's like, okay. I mean, he was a man of obedience. So he tells the church, I don't know what's going on, but I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to stop preaching, to not preach this word, and instead to pray in tongues. And so he begins to pray in tongues. He's just walking across the stage, praying in tongues, you know. I get a little shy about praying in tongues. But, you know, whatever, he's praying in tongues. He's praying in tongues, does it for 5 minutes, and everybody is looking at him like, what are you doing? You know, he doesn't know why he's doing it. Nobody else knows what he's doing. Pentecostal churches, they know about praying in tongues, but no one's ever done this. It's praying in tongues, going back and forth. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he's just praying in tongues. Can you imagine doing that? Let's say you came up for a testimony, and then the Holy Spirit says, don't share your testimony, pray in tongues. Pastor Tim, can I do that? And he's like, obey God. So then you wouldn't know what to do, but he's just obeying God and he's praying in tongues, back and forth, 15 minutes. And then someone from the back of the church actually she screams. She says, oh my gosh, you know? And she comes forward and she shares her story. She says, my daughter has been in a mission field in Africa for a few years, but she contracted a disease, a fatal disease, and there is no cure. I mean, it's somewhere in Africa. I don't have all the details, but there's no cure, and everybody that contracts this disease will die. And so we just got the message from her, her mission organization that she's contracted this disease. We're doing our best. We're going to do everything that we can to heal her, but if she's not, then we will make sure to send her body back to you. And so they had received this message, I don't know when, but very recent to that event. But the past year, the daughter had come home, and she had actually taught some of the language of that people group that she was ministering to. And it took this lady about 15 minutes to realize what was said, but she realized that the pastor was walking back and forth praying in tongues. In that language, when what he was saying in tongues in that language was, you can rejoice, your daughter will be healed. So she comes, she's like, oh my gosh, that's what you're saying, I heard that. And then the daughter was healed. Right? Isn't that amazing? So through tongues, he has no idea what he was doing and why he was doing it, but as he's praying, he's declaring, you can rejoice, your daughter is healed. You can rejoice, your daughter is healed. And another time, Dutch Sheets again, he's in a small group praying for a couple that whose marriage is falling apart. They're gathered together in a small group. They're praying for the couple. And he's praying. He prays, corporate prayer, prays in English. And then people take turns praying. And while they're praying, he's praying in tongues. Just quietly in his heart. Quietly whispering, praying in tongues. But someone next to him, sitting next to him, was a man from Ghana. And he just began laughing during the prayer time. So he's mad. Dutch Sheets is like, this guy, his English is not so good, so he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand. He's getting annoyed. But he just kind of laughs a little bit here and there during the prayer time. So afterwards, the man talks to Dutch Sheets, and he says to him, after you prayed in English and when you were praying in tongues, you were praying in perfect Twi. Twi is the language of Ghana. And you said you were praying in perfect Twi, and you were praying for their marriage to be healed. But Dutch Sheets, when he's praying in tongues, he has no idea. He's just praying in tongues. He doesn't know how to pray, exactly what to say. He's already prayed in English, and so he begins to pray in his spirit language. He said he didn't feel anything special. It was just like all the other times he's praying in tongues. But in that time, God opened his eyes to see that he was praying the perfect prayer for the couple, in perfect Twi, which is the language of Ghana. I actually Googled, YouTubed Twi language, because I wanted to hear. Does that sound like any of our tongues? It sounds like it's possible. you can look it up. But that's what it is. So when we pray in tongues, we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And when you listen to P. Sam's message, he calls this praying in tongues is the prayer of weakness, right? Because we don't know how to pray. We often don't know how to pray or what to pray, and God helps us to pray. And that was, for me, maybe the biggest revelation about speaking in tongues. Growing up, speaking in tongues was always this spiritual merit badge. When I was a kid, I remember going to church, some kind of Sunday school retreat, and my teachers would pray for me, and she's praying fervently, and then she breaks out in tongue, and I'm like, whoa. And I remember as a kid feeling like, wow, this person is so spiritual, so cool. I thought tongues was like you arrived somewhere when you pray in tongues. And that was kind of my mindset. And so when you pray for tongue, you're like hoping, like, oh, hopefully I'm worthy of receiving this gift of tongues. And that's the way I viewed it. But P. Sam corrected the thinking and said, actually, praying in tongues doesn't mean that you are strong. It actually means you're weak. If you are strong in your prayers, maybe you wouldn't need it. But you're weak in your prayers, so you need this gift because you don't always know what to pray or how to pray. And so God releases it to you so that you can pray the things that is on his heart. It's the prayer of weakness. We want to pray for people. Hopefully, in your heart, you have a desire for it. For praying in tongues. It is a gift from God, a wonderful gift, and he gives you the ability to pray the things that is on his heart. It bypasses your mind. Sometimes he will reveal to us in our mind what to pray. Other times, maybe he won't, but he will pray through us in the Spirit, and it builds us up. It's something that you can use to be strengthened in your faith, to be strengthened in your relationship with God. And the one that we're praying for today with private tongues, as you pray in the secret place, your devotional time with God, this is something that you can walk in. And I believe that God wants to give it to you. The question sometimes that people ask is, can everyone get it? Will everyone pray in tongues? Should everyone pray in tongues? I don't know. I don't know if everyone can get it, but definitely we can all ask for it. If we desire it, we can all ask for it. You know, to prep for this message, I asked about 15 people, how did you receive tongues? You know, when someone prayed for you, I'm like, how did you start praying in tongues? And you know what? 15 people had 15 different stories, right? There's so many, I mean, everyone's story is different on how you receive the gift of tongues. My story is probably the worst. I was in youth group, very shy, timid kid, and my youth pastor was a very aggressive, assertive man. I mean, he's a great man. I love him, and I'm so appreciative of his ministry. But, you know, he's just that type, very assertive. So he said, if anyone wants to pray in tongues, come up. So I was like, oh, I've been wanting that since I was a kid, you know, when I heard my Sunday school teacher pray for me. So I went up, and he prayed for me, and he's aggressive, right? He doesn't give up. So he's like, come on, just do it. But I'm so shy. I'm like, oh, this feels so weird. But I'm feeling the presence of God, and I'm feeling the love of God and the Holy Spirit, but I just can't get it out. And he just kind of kept saying, just, you got to get over that mind, you know, you got to get over that hump and just obey and just speak out the sound that's in your heart. And I don't know. And he'd even get me to just repeat what he was saying. Just repeat the sounds, because I kept speaking Korean. And he's like, no, don't speak Korean. And he recognized that you're speaking Korean. So, no. And he was just saying, I think what he was trying to do is just get me to get over the mind block. You know, like, oh, it's weird. How can you make a sound that doesn't make sense to you? So I tried to repeat what he was saying. I was very timid. And maybe I got it that day, maybe not. I don't even know. But that's my tongues initiation story. Not very glamorous, not very powerful, but that opened my heart to the gift of tongues. And I thought, you know what, maybe that was God. In youth group, I probably did it a little bit again, but in the same way, very shy, like, I don't know. And then it wasn't until college. I think when I went to college, I went to a pretty conservative Christian college, and I said, and nobody prayed in tongues. So I didn't just didn't do it. And I was like, oh. And I was fine with it until one day when I was praying in university, having my quiet time, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of stirring in me the desire to do it again. And so it was just on my own. You know, no one was there. I remembered that time, and I remembered. I was familiar with it a little bit because I did it in youth group. So I just started praying in tongues again. And again, for me, it was a choice. It was a conscious choice for me to speak out the sounds that were kind of in my heart. I wasn't sure. It sounded weird, and I didn't know, is it God? Is it me? But I chose to obey, and it was a conscious decision to obey. In the 15 people that I talked to, some of them happened this way. Some of them are like me, and they had a real mind block, and they had to choose, and it's timid at first, but they trust God, and they start to speak it out, and they can kind of sense something, and they had to make a choice to overcome the mind block and say it. Some people, how it happens is they're praying out loud, and they're praying, they're fervently seeking God, and it comes out of them. Some people, it just happens. They come up for prayer, boom. Then somebody prays for them, and it just flows out of them. So it's different. For different people, it's different. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you, anyone that wants to operate in the gift of tongues, that wants to receive the gift of tongues. So if we can have the worship team come up, please. We just want to pray for you. When you come up, I just want you to focus on receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about, is today the day I'm going to pray in tongues? Because that has a lot of pressure on you. That has a lot of pressure on the person praying for you. That has a lot of pressure on, it's unnecessary, right? You just focus on, I just want to get closer to God. I want to be able to worship God more intimately. I want to pray the things that's on his heart. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the desire. And sometimes as the Holy Spirit comes upon you in that way, it manifests in tongues. And it may happen today. It may happen later. A lot of the times in the stories that I ask people, a lot of the times it happens later. They receive the prayer. Nothing happens right there and then. But they go home and they're continuously seeking. And they're open to it and they're asking God for it. And then sometime later, that gift gets released. You know? So when you come up, you can start playing. When you come up, what I would encourage you to do is just receive. You can hold, let's do what we did last time. So if you want to receive prayer, you can have your hands up like this. If you've already received prayer from somebody, you can put your hands down. But if you want more prayer, maybe you can put them back up. Somebody else will come up and pray for you. That's fine. And we'll just pray for you. And I think in your heart, I desire to know you. I want to be filled with you. And with your mouth, what I would encourage you to do is actually pray out loud. I think maybe that will help kind of loosen the tongue a little bit. And you just pray and you worship. Tell God, I love you. Thank you for saving me. I give my life to you. You just pray. And then if the Holy Spirit leads you to tongues, great. If not, don't despair. It will come. If God's given you the desire, that's a sign that He wants to give it to you, right? Like Pastor Rob said, you know, it's messed up to put a desire in you just so, like, do you want these chips? Well, get your own, you know? Do you want to pray in tongues? Well, too bad. I mean, that's not the heart of God. So, okay, so let's sing a song, and then as she sings, feel free to just come forward. Well, yeah, let's stand together, and then just come forward as you feel led. Actually, I forgot. I also wanted to open up the altar for anyone who has received it, but you've been despising it. Kind of like Jackie Pollinger. So you've got it, but you don't really practice it, and you feel very hesitant, and you feel like maybe ashamed of it or unsure. I want to encourage you to come and receive prayer as well, okay? So that we can be re-stirred up in your heart. Okay, so go ahead. Thank you. And pastors, I think the pastors can just pray. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it come forth from here to the nation. Let your fragrance rest in this place. Glory fall. Let your Any house church leaders, if you want to come up, and if you also operate in the gift, feel free to come up and pray for your people. Let's just sing the song, the chorus, one more time. If you're at the back, I just want you to pray for the people at the front and just pray that they would really experience the presence of God, the fullness of the Spirit as we sing this song together. Sorry, thank you. Your freedom reigns.
Freedom reigns in this land.
Yes, thank you, God. Just want to encourage everybody, if you came up here and you didn't receive the gift of tongues, I just see that with the gift of tongues especially, I don't know why, but there is sometimes, I've seen it in many people, there's a real sense of disappointment because they've come up a few times, many times, and they haven't gotten it. And discouragement can come sometimes. And so I just want to encourage you to fight against that. Okay, don't let disappointment and discouragement come because you didn't receive it today or in this time. And I think it's great. I think it's beautiful. The heart, the desire you have. There is a real supernatural thing that happens when we pray in tongues and the connection that we have with God and the ability to pray and connect with God in that way. It's a beautiful thing. And it's a God-given desire that you have. So don't just squash it like, oh, this must not be for me. Keep seeking and keep praying. I think it's the longer it takes, sometimes the more we cherish it. It took me a long time to get married, and so I cherish my wife a lot. You know, some people are not like that. But, you know, we cherish because it took us a long time. Pastor Sam, myself, you know, we took a long time to pursuing, and we cherish. And I think it's like this, too. Just the more we cherish it and we pray for it, we keep trying, it'll be so glorious when we get it. And do it in your private time. If you got something today and you feel like it was very minor, very soft, I know, it's embarrassing. Just naturally, it's embarrassing. That's okay. Normal to feel embarrassed about a weird sound you're making. Do it in the private place. Go to your place with God and say, God, I want to practice this. And put on some worship music. Just start with worshiping God, praising God, and then let him take over, okay? But you have to take that step of faith. And the devil is going to come, if you got it, the devil is going to come and say, that's just you. It's a lie. Then nothing happened to you. And so just expect it, and when it comes, say, no. The Holy Spirit did something, okay? So let me pray for us. Father, thank you. I'm thankful for giving us the gift of tongues, God. I know sometimes just a lot of things get attached to it, you know, sign of maturity or sign of your favor. And I just pray against disappointment and discouragement, debilitating disappointment and discouragement, especially if it's coming from our brokenness or from the enemy. I pray for your healing. I pray that you would come, if anything, reveal how much you love and how much you care, your tender heart for our brothers and sisters, God. I pray for perseverance. Help us to continue seeking for it. And I pray that you would release this gracious gift upon everybody in our church, God. Help us all to pray for the things. We don't know how to pray for Hong Kong. I pray that you would give us this gift so that we can pray for the thing that's on your heart, God. Sometimes our mind, there's a block, so I pray that you would help us to remove that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.